I'm Joyce Hornady. You might say accuracy is my business. I make bullets.
You are listening to the Hornady Podcast.
Thanks for joining us and enjoy the show.
Hello, everybody. Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Hornady Podcast, the show where we talk all things hunting, shooting, and ballistics. I got a nice panel for you guys here today. To my left, project engineer Miles Neville, and then across the table, we've got marketeer Matt Ritchie and fellow engineer with Miles, Brendan Meyer. Guys, thanks for coming on the show.
Happy to be here.
Pleasure as always.
Now, it is a pretty topical episode, depending on when we get this one out, but as far as the recording of this episode goes, we're just breaking into 2024, and what that means for a lot of us is the match season is upon us. You know, Matt, you handle all of our match sponsorships and our sponsored shooters, so you're seeing those matches around the country really starting to kick off, and it's a pretty exciting time of year. You know, people trying new cartridges, new barrels, new guns, new bullets, new gear, people just trying them out for the first few matches, and it's really just an exciting time because, you know, blow the cobwebs out, you know, you had all winter long where, you know, you got fat and happy over the holidays, but it's time to get after it now.
Yeah, it's my calendar in my cubicle is awful full of dates of matches on the weekends and things like that. But yeah, it's getting started. March is a pretty heavy month as far as, you know, PRS and NRO Hunter matches are concerned. But I know there's some of those guys have already been shooting. They've already got 2 to 3 matches under their belt. So depending on regionally where you're at, you've been maybe shooting already. So
that's great. It's great to see. I know you guys have already shot already, and we'll talk about that. What I want this podcast to be is for maybe that entry-level guy who's competent marksman, really practicing, you know, a student of the gun, if you will, and they're ready to step into that competitive circle. And, you know, there's some hurdles to get over there. And one of those hurdles and one of the funner parts of it is picking what cartridge you're going to compete with. And we're going to discuss maybe what are your processes to go through caliber, cartridge selection, how you set your rifles up, maybe what games you're playing. You know, the PRS game is fun, but so is NRL Hunter. And so are some of those outlaw matches and the sniper team matches. And, you know, there's a lot of other games to play in the precision rifle world than just PRS, but PRS is a pretty fun one. Now, before we get into some of this criteria, I want to give the listener a little background to relative new guest to the show, Brendan Meyer, because Brendan, you know, you've been with Hornady now for several years, but you came in not a precision rifle competitor, and in pretty short order, you went from, yeah, you've got some guns to now you have several custom-built precision rifle systems. So give us a quick background on what got you into shooting and hunting, and as you came to Hornady, what got you into wanting to try these precision rifle games?
Well, so, yeah, grew up hunting, you know, a lot out west, and typically you're shooting a little bit further out there. You're not shooting 100 yards or under, so I kind of always liked a little bit longer range stuff. And then as I got into Hornady, even before that, I'd started looking into PRS a little bit. It just seemed like a lot of fun, super in your mind, you know. It's a head game. Do this, and you got to be really, really strategic with how you go through the stages. So I kind of liked that part of it as well. Really liked long-range shooting in general. And so then when I got here, getting talking to Miles and you and everybody around the office, it just seemed easy. Nowadays, everything's pre-fits. You got custom actions that are just phenomenal. And stocks and chassis galore nowadays, so it kind of made it easy. Got my first rifle, which was just a factory Remington 700 with a regular HS stock on it.
And nice then, stock, but yeah,
nice stock. And then just from there, it's gotten a little crazy, but yeah.
So you went head first into it.
Yeah.
Awesome. And we'll jump ahead here a little bit, but you went from got your first kind of precision rifle, you know, with the HS stock and, you know, rebarreled the Remington 700 to now you just went to a national level 2-day PRS match and placed
32nd,
which for the listener who has not competed in a PRS match, you break top 50%, you know, and you've got 180 competitors and you're number 32, that's a pretty darn fine showing for somebody that doesn't do this for a living. You know, when, you know, you show up and yeah, we, you know, run 3, 4, 5 matches a year if we can, but you've got a lot of other things. And so to break into that, you know, top 25% or top 30% is pretty respectable, man. Like, really respectable.
I had a lot of good coaches, Miles and Joe Thielen, that's been on the podcast a lot, really helped me a lot. And we do a lot of practice, and it's been great. Yeah,
we were squatted with a bunch of heavy hitters too. Those guys were, you know, and that's one of the things in that squad, we were all communicating, hey, what do you run for wind? What do you think on this? What angle? What are you getting for wind speed? So all that, just communication. And
yeah, definitely not just me.
No, but you do have to have a tighten up behind the bolt. Now, we talked about, you know, Miles and Joe Thielen specifically. Those guys show up to a match and they're, you know, they're looking to place at that match. But for the large amount of us, I would say the hefty majority of PRS shooters, we're in the middle of the pack and we're just trying to get to the top of the middle of the pack. And it's crazy how hard you have to fight and claw to break that line. You know, when you look at, we were just talking about this the other day, when I look back at my performance in, like, say, 2014 and how I perform at a match now, I'd be winning matches in 2014, but the level of competition has gotten so good. The average competitor now has just an amazing, you know, equipment, and they're really good at managing their time and their ballistics and their reloading and their bullets. It's just remarkable.
Yeah. There's a ton of training that's happened, a ton of information that's been disseminated, and there's a more or less a standardized approach to it now. Where I remember when I first started getting into precision rifle shooting, it was, you had to like seek out information, and some of it was good and some of it not so much.
We talk about, you know, the precision rifle series, the NRL Hunter, and even like sports like the Mammoth Sniper Challenge, for example, or the Guardian Long Range Match, or some of these team matches. They're games. And so once, you know, if you've never played a game, well, yeah, it could be hard to figure it out. But once everybody knows how to play the game, then there's some standardization that happens. And these are games. And so once you figure out the game, you know, the people that figure out the game first generally, you know, go to the top, and that kind of sorts itself out.
I think you
can
see that too. I know that you remember the rifle that I started shooting when I started working here, and that changed pretty quick. I went to national 2-day matches and looked around, and it's like, okay, I've got the wrong tool for this.
Yep. But I was in the exact same boat. And we'll talk about those setups here, you know, coming up, because I think a lot of us listeners and internal started that way. So let's get into it here. So, you know, when you're as an entry level guy, like, you know, Brendan, when you were an entry level guy, just, you know, 5 years ago or whenever that was for you, what were some of your criteria that you looked at for, how do I pick a cartridge? Because there's a lot that goes into that, and there's a give and take relationship with every aspect of it. So I'll kick it over to Brendan first. When you got to Hornady, okay, this is what we're doing. This is a sport. A lot of people are playing it. How did you pick a cartridge?
Well, I think I kind of went about it. I'm a decently small statured guy. So I kind of went about it about a gun weight versus recoil. You know, that's kind of where I'm first looking. I don't want something that's going to kick me so hard that I kind of come off target and can't see. So I kind of started leaning towards some of those lighter recoiling cartridges in the 6 mil range. Kind of started there. And everything nowadays with your scopes and turrets, everything is easy. I mean, your Hornady Fordoff's going to tell you what you're going to do. So it's not like, it's not like you're picking something specifically for how much drop it has, I don't think. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, so you went 6 millimeter right out of the gate.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, just
on recoil.
That's kind of what most people have been shooting in PRS from what I had seen, so I kind of just went that route to begin with.
Sure, which is a good route. That is, you know, definitely one of the criteria. Miles, for you, when you came to Hornady, you were already actively engaged in precision rifle shooting, but not so much on the competition side. So where did you start, and how did that flow through your selection process?
Well, so I had been shooting competitions, but not like the national 2-day stuff. So I'd been doing, I guess you call them outlaw matches, just local stuff around Rapid City where I was going to school, over in Wyoming, South Dakota, stuff like that. And those are still, I still enjoy going to those when I can.
Yeah.
Doesn't burn up your whole weekend. That's a nice thing. You get a day with it. But, at that time I had kind of gone into the 6.5 millimeter, a lot of wind out there in Wyoming and South Dakota, and the 6.5 seemed to do really well with that. And then, I've back and forth between, you know, 6 and 6.5 for splash on target. Most of the time you're fine, but then once you get past, you know, 800 yards, it seems like the 22s and 6 millimeters get a little bit light for even hitting the target sometimes with the 22s. So I was actually shooting a 260 that was like a Creedmoorized match reamer. Yeah, it was a custom build. And I got into that kind of before the 6.5 Creedmoor, kind of as the 6.5 Creedmoor was really taking off. And I was like 6.5 Creedmoor 260. I don't know. I picked one, and had a, I was doing a custom build in anyway and reloading everything anyway. But I do remember, picking up a piece of brass at one of the ranges I went to and was like, wow, that looks done right. You know, on the 6.5 Creedmoor, I was like, well, I've already got the reloading stuff. I'm settled into it. And then once I got here, it was a lot easier to make that transition over to or to 6.5 Creedmoor. And it just made sense. And prior to that, I was living in the old dogma of like, well, if you want a precision rifle, you have to hand load. That's the only way to do it. And after having been here, being an intern, and I think we spun up a 6.5 barrel while I was an intern here and shot factory ammo and saw the performance that I was getting out of the factory ammo, I was like, well, that's an easy button, because that way, at least if I feel lazy or something happens and my reloads don't work or I can't make them in time, I got factory boxed ammo that I can resort to.
So you came out of the gate with 6.5 millimeter going with the 260 and then the 6.5, cause that was already picking up. Matt, I have to get into your past a little bit, because you were a bench press shooter and shooting a little hot rod 6.5. So when you transitioned over to the precision rifle games, did you stay with the 6.5?
No. So I started out hot rod 6.5, 6.5 284, then went transitioned 6.5 Creedmoor, because again, that's kind of, I think they give you that when you get hired on here. They give you a box of 6.5 Creedmoor ammo, like, this is what you're going to do now. But then, you know, as I kind of started in there and got further down the trail with the bench press stuff, a lot of those guys, their light guns are predominantly 6 millimeter. So went to a 6 Creedmoor, and then transitioned to a little BR variant, 6 BRA Creed, or a 6 millimeter, shot that. And then kind of like Miles, like, I had that stuff. So then my first barrel on my PRS match gun went with a 6 BRA, because I had the brass, had the dice, had all the stuff. But then just kind of stayed on the 6 mil stuff. I still run a hot rod 6.5 for my NRL hunter gun, just because power factor and, you know, unknown distances, or at least the targets until you get a good range on them. But your range estimation, you know, might not be exact. You're not ranging that exact target, the distance. So you got a little bit of forgiveness there with a flat shooting 6.5, and it bucks the wind really well. But, my choice is really just recoil, like, being able to see where I hit on that plate and then being able to make a correction. Like this last weekend, watching, you know, some of those top level guys, like seeing them when you're spotting and you see them hit and that plate twists one way, you're like, oh, okay, they were whatever edge of that plate. And then they automatically make that correction, and then they run the rest of the stage out in their center punching plates. It's like,
they got to figure it
that's,
out.
That's, you know, what you need. Yep. You need something to where you can spot your impact, but not lose, you know, and watch your trace and see where it's at, and then make so you can make your corrections.
Out here, you may only get one chance. So never compromise. At any distance. Match accurate ELDX bullets, highest BCs, flat trajectories, and unparalleled terminal performance at all practical ranges. Precision Hunter Ammunition from Hornady.
That Clay's cartridge match there, that was obviously, the wind was blowing, especially on day two from what I hear. So before we get into some specific criteria, I will say the way it worked for me was I started here and built my first kind of air quote precision rifle in 2013 in 308 Winchester. And I'd never even heard of the PRS. at that time, which was just, you know, I think that started in 2012. So got that gun built in 308, and the mentality where there was, that's what everybody was doing. That's what all the, you know, obviously the military snipers were doing. And that just was the, that's just what you did. You built a 308 precision rifle. And just like Miles mentioned, I was shooting exclusively hand loads and ran my first match with that and did actually really well, but it wasn't a PRS match. It was one of those sniper game type matches, the Competition Dynamic Sniper Adventure Challenge. Our senior ballistician and I, Jaden Quinlan, we ran that as a team. I actually won the division, which was cool. And then a couple of weeks later, we ran a match that was actually turned out to be what PRS is now. And holy cow, boy, did I have my eyes opened. That was incredible. I was blown away and hooked, really. So it became evident, okay, the 308 is not the cartridge to be competing in the open division. Range, you know, the range, the amount of drop, the amount of wind, the amount of recoil, there's a lot of things. So I went 6.5 Creedmoor as well. And then just like a lot of you guys, I went from Creedmoor to 6 Creedmoor to 6 ARC to GT to all over the place. And I would say between all of us and the people within the building, we've tried it all, really. We've got, you know, people that have ran Dashers, ARCs, 22 cal stuff, 308s. I mean, just all over. And that's what we're really going to get into, the nitty gritty of, if you will. So the one thing I'd like to talk about is first isolating your caliber, not necessarily your cartridge selection, but your bullet diameter. So when you guys are trying to pick a bullet diameter, one of the things that, or some of the things that jump out to me that you have to be considerate of is the amount of recoil, the barrel life, you know, what's your expected barrel life, what's your wind look like out at range, and bullet drop, like you mentioned, Brandon. Hornady Ford off, you set it up right, bullet drop is almost not important for a lot of the games we play. The location in which you primarily shoot. So we try to do stuff, you know, out in the Western Continental 48 here, and you got big wind gradients, right? So you've got, you know, wind changes speed the higher you go up in elevation. So if you're shooting off of a cliff face, you know, now you have this big potential for wind gradient. And so that's a concern for me. Brass, you know, does Hornady make brass is a concern of mine, but, you know, for the listener, it, you know, it, what's brass availability like? What powders go into it? What powders does this cartridge thrive on? Because, man, there was a while there where people were paying $600 for 8 pounds of Varget, and I can't play that game very long.
Yeah. I think I saw double.
Yeah. And so,
for a while.
Budget, you know, what's, am I just getting into this? Am I going to try to burn out some barrels and really, you know, get into this? And then, do I want to run it with a muzzle breaker or suppressor? That comes into it as well, kind of tied back to recoil. So I know I just mentioned a whole bunch of things, but let's narrow it down first to caliber with some of these things that I mentioned in mind. So how do you guys pick from 22 to 6 to 6.5 to maybe 7 millimeter, maybe to 30 caliber? What are your influences of all the things that I mentioned and anything I didn't that help you pick your caliber?
Recoil, splash, wind deflection. That's the most of it.
That's the most of it.
Yeah.
Yep. And Miles, you're the only one here that has a PRS bullet, and the only one here that actively competed in the gas gun division. So you've got some different answers because you compete in the open and the gas gun, but primarily you've landed in the 6 millimeter world.
Yeah. So after my 6.5, I saw the gamer guns and I said, okay, I'm going to do that.
If we're going to have a game, let's play a game.
If we're all shooting 25 pound rifles, then I guess I'll shoot a 25 pound rifle. And I built first a 6 Creedmoor and wasn't really impressed with the recoil reduction from a 6.5 Creedmoor to a 6 Creedmoor. And then I noticed that the bullets were getting there so fast that I couldn't really see it on a lot of the closer shots. Like my recoil management at the time, maybe it'd be better now, but at the time it was like, it's getting there too quick. I'm still not seeing it. My recoil isn't that much better that I can, you know, get back on target and see this stuff. And then the barrel life on it was, you know, 1,500, 1,800, maybe 2,000 rounds.
And that is way more than I pulled a barrel at 980.
Right. Coming from a 6.5 Creedmoor where my last barrel I pulled at 3,500 rounds, it was like, well, this is kind of not consistent. And it wasn't really consistent throughout the range of the barrel life either. Like, you'd start getting a drop off after 1,200 rounds, right? So even if you stretched it, you start to see things happen. So I wasn't too impressed with that. So kind of as a joke, I think we talked about this on the podcast before, but as a joke, somebody's like, well, why don't you run a 6 arc? And I was like, okay. Yeah. So I spun up a barrel and started running it, and I fell in love. And so
in your 25 pound.
Yeah. In a
heavy race,
20 to 22 pound. Weighted down PRS gamer gun. I'm running 6 arc. And I liked it so much. I've got, I think, 6 or 7 barrels now, pre-spun up, ready to go, broken in, know what the load that I shoot does in them, and they're just set aside. So that's probably what I'm going to be shooting for the next.
That's a lifetime of barrels with a 6 arc, too.
Yeah, because you're getting 4,000 or 5,000 rounds of barrel out of
it. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I pulled one at 4,500 rounds because I got scared, because like it shouldn't shoot this good this long, but I think it probably still had... Yeah.
I swear to God.
Yeah, I think it ended up over in your place. So.
Yeah.
But basically for me, if you run the math on felt recoil versus like exterior ballistics, if you run kind of the best weight class in caliber bullets, right? So the highest BC bullets that you're going to get at the velocities that they'll go, and then you weigh that out versus the recoil, the smaller you go, the better that trend looks. And it, even 22 looks better than 6mm. The problem then arises when, a little bit with wind, but nothing drastic there. The real problem when you get to the field is when you hit those 800 to 1200 yard targets in the PRS game, or even inner 100 you can't because it's caliber restricted or power factor restricted. But in PRS, you start getting to those 800 yard targets, and if it's a hot miragey day on flat ground, even seeing hits with a 22 cal at 800, 1,000, 1,200 yards on a plate is like questionable. You know, if there's not a hit indicator or something that's reliably working, it's like, I don't know what happened there, bud. Sorry. You
so
know?
That's part of your caliber selection is, does it have enough mass that when it gets there, I know where it went.
Right. And I think
also,
that's
also if you miss, you know, seeing that splash in the, you know, getting that feedback from the dirt around it, you know, a 22 cal at those farther distances, you're like, I don't know.
There's just not enough steam left in it to really kick dirt out of the way. So that's where you'll start seeing people drift 25, you know, most people 6mm about as light as they go. There are guys that shoot 22 and they do it successfully. In fact, Jeff, the guy that got first place in Gascon, he's running a 22 GT. In his gas gun, and he ended up winning the series last year. So there's definitely application for it. It just all comes with trade-offs. And so you'll see, a bulk of people are probably running between 6 and 6.5. And that's that little trade-off between more recoil, lower velocity, and then you get less wind deflection with the higher BC 6.5 bullets, and then more splash downrange.
Yeah, well, let's kick this now over to Brendan, because we talked about caliber and we kind of jumped into cartridge, where you went with 6mm arc, and there's factory options. We have brass, so that's an easy button for you. Well, Brendan, let's talk about how you went from 6mm to 6mm to 6mm, and now where you're ended up now, and what guided you to that caliber and cartridge selection. Because this is kind of a, you know, if you look at the precision rifle sports as a whole, this is coming back full circle now, because you started with a 6 Creed.
Correct. Yeah, I started with a 6 Creed. And kind of found the same problems that Miles did, where that bullet is getting there so fast that, especially at stuff under 500 yards, it's hitting before you're like back on target and watching for splash. So I kind of played that game for a couple matches that first year. Then I went, okay, I want something a little less recoil. Like you said, about the same as a 6.5 Creedmoor. So I went down and played the ARC game. So I ran ARC for a while. Loved it, as a matter of fact. Kind of jumped back up to the GT just to get a little bit more velocity out of it. Run the 110 A-tips a little bit better. And then now running 6.5 Creedmoor this year. And been really, really happy with it.
And what drove that selection?
I think wind deflection. I'm still young enough and early enough in the game that I'm not the best at calling wind. I know nobody's perfect.
Join the club.
Yeah. But so there's, you get, it's more forgiving, right? If I'm off by 5-10 degrees on my wind, or I'm off a mile or two per hour on my wind, it's not going to affect me quite as much as running like a 6 arc or something. So that's kind of what drove me to that. Plus, like you said, I shoot a lot out west. You know, you're in Oklahoma, South Dakota, Nebraska, Wyoming, Utah, places where there's big, wide, vast expanses that are running 10, 15, we saw 20, 25 mile an hour winds down at Clay's, down in Oklahoma. So that's kind of what pushed me towards the 6.5, running them a little slow on purpose, just being able to manage that recoil and just watch them come in is kind of been really nice.
Matt, now you went to 6.5 and down to 6, and you're still running 6.
Yeah, so my current gun is I've got a 6 arc that I just built, and it's great. I love it. I kind of went with a two-pronged attack on it. I've got my original PRS gun I built. I'm going to get it in the 6.5 Creedmoor, and that's going to be when we do go south or west, and there's going to be wind, I'm going to shoot a 6.5 Creedmoor. Obviously, I don't have it ready, so I had to take my 6 arc down to Oklahoma, which it was great for barricade stuff and positional things, and even land prone. I could watch all of that stuff. I just suck at calling wind.
Well, yeah.
And but on day two, when you get a wind change in speed of 10 or more mile an hour, plus it changes 15 to 20 degrees in the vector, like I was struggling.
It'll chew up a 6. It will.
I was struggling. I mean, obviously there's guys that are really, really good at it, but they shoot thousands of more rounds a year than I do. So I'm running my 6 arc, and when I go to, when we go to gap grind, K&M, and shoot that match, obviously I'm going to bring the 6 arc, and have fun. But I also have kids that are getting old enough. I want to start taking them. And so if we can hit some one day regional matches and take my kids, I don't want them having to fight with something. So that 6 arc's not super heavy. It's like 18 pounds.
Okay.
Which may seem like a lot, but it's not really that much compared to 22 or 24 or 25 pounds.
Yep. So does powder selection come into play when you're choosing your caliber and subsequent cartridge? Do you guys have I know I want to use Varget, or I want to use 4350, or I want to use whatever. Do you guys have that go-to, I'm going to choose a cartridge just based on the propellant?
Yeah, I mean, you want Varget or 4350, Reloader 16, or Reloader 26.
Yeah, Reloader 26 for the PRS games is probably a little slow.
You can make it work in a Creedmoor.
You can, yes.
But yeah, you want one of those good powders to fit. That's the ideal case, is that one of those known good performing powders that has really good temperature stability. If that fits in and if you have multiples that you can pick from, like the 6 arc is unfortunately kind of a one trick pony there, where I've got Varget in a bolt gun, and if to be really relevant for PRS, I have to run a 26 or 28 inch barrel. I got to run a longer barrel, and Varget has to work.
Yeah, or the new Stayball match.
Oh, right, yeah, Stayball match, yeah, if you can, yep. So, yeah, I've got a couple of options. And, I mean, there's others. I could try IMR 48 or H4895 or some XBR 8208. There's some others, but you lose a little bit on temp stability maybe. But
and a little velocity.
Right, and velocity as well. So, like, you can corner yourself that way. Luckily, Varget has worked every time for me. But, yeah, bumping up into, the by 47s or the GTs or the Creedmoors really gets you in a realm where, depending on the bullet weight within that family, you got Varget 4350, Reloader 16, you got more options basically. So if you're stuck with a bullet that you want to run, you got more powder options to play with that can get you a winning load.
That's part of, in my opinion, I think if you're choosing a PRS cartridge, that should be one of the things that is in your consideration little handbook, is what propellants, because there are propellants that have a track record for producing just nuts on accuracy every time. Varget's one of them. 4350 is one of them. And in those cartridges where we're playing with, they're relatively small. And, a medium slow, medium fast powder between Varget and 4350, they generally work the best. I will say for me, caliber selection, when I went from 308 Winchester and I built my first 6.5, I still wasn't committed to the game of PRS. I thought it was actually kind of silly to invest that much money into something that I couldn't do anything else with but play this one game. And I was still doing more field-style matches and stuff. So what I built was a 14-pound or 13.5-pound 6.5 Creedmoor, medium Palma barrel, chassis, very, very utilitarian. I could, I could take that pretty well anywhere and do a match with it and go on a coyote hunt with it. And it was just, again, a good field rifle. But the 6.5, it was a little bit too much recoil for the weight of the gun. And so I ended up, okay, if we're going to play the game, kind of like you, well, let's play the game then. So I built a gamer gun and I used actually your takeoff arc barrel and put it together. And I knew I wanted to go 6mm because that's the lower the recoil. I want to see splash on the target. It's a competitive advantage for the wind and the bullet drop compared to the 6.5. So I actually had a HS factory built rifle in 6mm Creedmoor. And that thing was the most accurate rifle I've ever owned and probably still to this day.
The HIT Target Impact Indicator. Instant hit confirmation at extended ranges has never been easier. The HIT Target Impact Indicator easily attaches to most target stands and not the steel target itself. The highly sensitive internal accelerometer detects vibration when the target is impacted, activating the red LED lights that flash Morse code for HIT. Where impact confirmation can be difficult, light it up with the HIT Target Impact Indicator from Hornady.
The Catch-22 is, just like you guys had mentioned, it got to the target so fast that I actually was shooting the same scores as I was with my 14-pound Creedmoor, my 6.5 Creedmoor. So next thing you know, I've got 980 rounds on the barrel, and it's, wow, almost time to start thinking about a new barrel, and I shot three matches with it. So I knew I wanted to look into something with better barrel life. So what I did towards the end of my Creedmoor barrel life is I went to Varget. Now, most people wouldn't associate a 6mm Creedmoor with running Varget, but I did. I backed it down. We have a piezoelectric pressure reading system, and at the time, I worked with it every day. So end of a shift, let me see what this Varget will do. And I found a charge of Varget that ran at 58,000 pounds that shot darts. I mean, this thing was bullet on top of bullet on top of bullet, 110 A tips at 2835 feet per second. I was chugging them out there. And I shot a match with that. And I was like, okay, this is the way. The 6mm going slow. I'm watching everything happen. So then I get my arc put together and I ran my first match with the 6mm arc. It was the Hornady PRC in Utah. Which, if you've ever been there, you guys around the table have, that's not a good match to run a six arc. Whoa. Needless to say.
That's disrespectful.
Unless you're Miles Neville.
Yeah, I'm just saying it gets blown around a little bit because you're shooting off cliff faces. You're shooting soup. They have a mile target. Yeah.
Across canyons, up canyons.
If there was a PRS match that a PRC would be applicable for, that's probably
it's that one.
Of,
yeah. So I show up to this match. 6mm arc, and I shot the match of my life. There was only a couple stages where I did not see every single bullet that left the barrel. So I was like, okay, this is the right answer, I think. It was just, again, I could watch every bullet. I could make the, even when I hit the target, I could make the corrections within the plate to put the bullet in the center. And to me, that made a huge deal. And I think for me, the selection process did come down to what powder and recoil. I knew I could use Varget. I knew I could get the low recoil. I'd already proven that to myself with my 6 Creedmoor that was on its way out. And I had factory ammo options should I want to go that route. I knew I wanted to run a muzzle brake to bring the recoil down even further, so I didn't mind running a 28-inch barrel. So to me, that was awesome. But just like you mentioned, Matt, now that I've shot more matches out west, I've never really shot any matches east, but I'm going to go back to the 6.5mm, one, because of the barrel life. If I can get similar barrel life to a 6mm arc, but pick up some wind performance, I think I'm going to go that route. I'm going to go back to 6.5 Creedmoor. I'm going to toss those 153s out at like 26.25 or 26.50 or something. I'll still have plenty of factory loaded ammo should I want to go that route. I can use the same cartridge for NRL Hunter and PRS. And it fits my budget and my, I'm going to call it time budget. How much time am I willing to invest in this sport? There was a time where I was investing a lot of time and a lot of money. Over the last 7 years, that's not me anymore. And so for my minimal investment in time, I get a maximum investment in my equipment. The barrel's going to last forever. I know once I break it in and work the load up for it, that it's, that's what it's going to be on. It's on cruise control for the next 3,500 rounds. And to me, that means something. And so for the new shooter that's looking in and seeing, oh, everybody's running dashers and I have to fire form brass and this, that, and the other thing, you could just jump into a 6.5 Creedmoor, not give up anything on the performance envelope. And you're seeing a lot of shooters actually come back to the 6.5 Creedmoor or the 25 Creedmoor.
Well, and the thing with, you know, everybody went low recoiling 6mm rounds. And now, you know, with the advancement in all of the trinkets and gadgets that, you know, the high performance muzzle brakes that are super efficient, the stocks, the chassis, the weight systems you can add to these things, you can run a 6.5 Creedmoor, run 140s or 147 ELDMs and not give anything up on, you know, positional props and things like that with in regards to recoil.
Yeah. So, recoil and spotting your own shots.
And let's not forget the 135 A-tip. I talked about 153, Brendan. I think that's what you're shooting.
Yep, 153s.
Yeah. If you want to pick up that speed, jump into that 135, and that's a slippery widget right there.
I will say I have a 6.5 Creedmoor barrel on, you know, in the stall there in case I decide I need it. But before it was a 6.5 Creedmoor, I even played around with 6.5 Grindle.
Yeah.
Long-throated. And it was too slow to really be effective. But what was interesting, the little local range where we can all hang out at 400 and 500 yards, there is something to be said for something that's going 24 or 50 foot per second as far as watching your own trace, because you see it on every shot.
Yeah.
And it was tempting, but yeah, the long ball stuff, it just falls apart, unfortunately. But yeah, I wouldn't be afraid to run a 153 at 2550, 2600, because if you can get the recoil management side of it down and you can spot your stuff, you will see your own trace. And that's one of the main benefits for me with this six arc and such a heavy rifle, is that the recoil is non-existent. And in a good prone position or a solid bagged up position, even on targets that are silhouetted, you know, over the top of a hill,
yep,
I can watch my own trace. And you can, I mean, there have been points made up that way where I missed the first shot, saw the trace go right of the target, and then was able to correct. Whereas with something with a little more oomph to it, there's no chance.
You're no chance. Well, and when you're actually showing up to matches to place at the match, one or two points can separate 10th from 5th for
yeah,
sure.
And I would say in general, the cartridge selection thing is not going to
make or break it.
Yeah, it's not going to bump you up 50 places. But it definitely,
pick one and
when
stick
it,
with it.
Yeah, when it gets to those, you know, you're in the top 20, top 30 positions, then you're in the realm where a couple fine tuning things, whether that's training or equipment or whatever, it can make a little bit of a difference for you.
Right on.
But yeah, learning how to read wind and shoot.
Yeah, I would say if you've listened to all this, yeah, go through your selection process and then make a selection and then shoot the snot out of it. We've got a gentleman that works in our technical services division that's getting started in it. He's new to this whole thing. He's asking a lot of questions. He's got a lot of interest in it. And he just built his first kind of, I'm going to call it precision rifle because that's what it is, but it's very utilitarian. You know, it's probably 13 or 14 pounds. It can be configured to be less than that. It can also be configured to be certainly heavier than that. And he's got a chassis on it. And it's in 6mm arc. And the criteria where he went through was, can I shoot factory ammo? Okay, that's got to be one of my things. Is it something that has a little bit more of a ballistic efficiency than, say, 3.8 Winchester? Okay, that'll help me, you know, to hit what I'm aiming at, because that's fun. I want it to be fun. And then what's the barrel life like? Okay, barrel life's great. Now, all I'm going to do is shoot the piss out of it. Just make your selection and then go shoot, go compete, cut your teeth with this stuff, and you'll learn more just from going and shooting than you will the mental geometry of, well, that I better try this cartridge or this powder or this bullet.
Yeah.
Just
it's very easy to go to a match, perform poorly, and then try to change
things. Start thinking I need to change something. Yeah.
And I'll say if you're in that realm of 6 to 6.5, you can probably just leave the cartridge alone.
And all of your components generally, that's one of those things that I've seen it time and time again. You go to a match, you perform poorly, and then you hear that person, oh, I'm going to try this bullet. I'm going to switch to this powder. I've got to play with my overall length. I'm going to change magazine. Whatever it is, just take the same components. Nothing's broken. It's probably the nut behind the bolt. Almost always.
I could strangle Jacob Morrow.
Yeah, he was.
For every time he changes something between matches.
Every match it's different, I feel like.
Yeah, there is something to be said about consistency. So, you know, go through these selection criteria, your barrel life, factory availability, what's the budget, how much, you know, what do your brass sources look like, what powder is it taking, et cetera. Go through all of this, make your selection and run it. Now, I'd like to change gears a little bit to kind of go through the same sort of criteria, but let's talk about some other sports, maybe NRL Hunter. Let's talk about gas gun division, and let's talk about tactical division, because they're, you know, those similar criteria, but you're going to come to a different answer. So for NRL Hunter, there is a power factor limitation. And, you know, if you're going to shoot factory ammo, they'll let you get away with a 6mm, provided there is hunting ammunition available. So that excludes the 6GT, you know, does include the 6mm Creedmoor. So what are some of your selection processes looking like for the NRL Hunter? Because that is blind stages. You got to range your own targets, manage your data in real time. So what does that look like for you guys?
There's some cool trade-offs there, because one, you have to have the power factor. So that kind of forces you up in recoil. And so like a 25 Creedmoor or a 6.5 Creedmoor is about the bottom that you can get away with and still have enough muzzle velocity and bullet weight to meet the minimum power factor. But the other cool thing about those matches is that if you hit on the first round, you're done with that target. So if you miss, then you shoot at it again. So at maximum, those matches use up less ammo. But then once you start getting in, and if you do well, you use even less ammunition. So it's a little bit less scary to use something like a PRC, like a 6.5 or even a 7 PRC. And so that kind of opens up the window where you can ballistically tilt things in your favor to get better hit probability.
Yeah, first round hit, yeah.
You still have to weigh in your ability to spot your splashes, but then you can kind of bully it a little bit if you want and just say, well, I'm going to run a 7 PRC and it's going to get there. And if I'm off by 20 yards on my range, who cares?
And generally in the NRL Hunter stuff too, the target size is a little more generous.
You're not going to run into, you know, multiple 3/4 and 1 minute plates in an NRL Hunter match.
You're also shooting slightly shorter distances,
right,
from
right.
what I've and seen.
I, yeah, you know, they usually cap it around 800 or 900 yards.
Yep.
So yeah, you could, like I said, you can bully it a little bit and get away and have it be successful for you.
Yep. And there's weight restrictions on the firearms, which also relates to your recoil, you know, because if you're going to run a 7 PRC, but you're trying to run open light division, which has to be sub 12 pounds, it's probably going to be a problem.
You're going to get pushed around a little.
Yeah. So definitely that balance between rifle recoil, rifle weight becomes increasingly more important. Yep.
What I've kind of seen, like Miles said, you can bully it a little bit depending on what category you're in, whether you're in open light, open heavy,
or factory.
I have a couple different guns that can fit for one of those, but not the other one. And I feel like that's more the way to go. Pick a division, shoot it all year.
Get comfortable with it.
You know, don't try to make this gun that'll, I'll shoot light this match, I'll shoot heavy in this match,
yeah.
You know, play around with that, find something, stick to it.
Yeah. Especially as a beginner, or even not beginner, but middle of the pack shooter. I think there's a lot of us middle of the pack shooters that could cross into that upper tier of the middle of the pack, if you will, just by being consistent with your gear and the divisions you're shooting in.
Right.
Yeah.
I would say too, for NRL Hunter, there's, traditionally we talk like PRS 22 to 6.5 is pretty much it. I mean, there's a couple guys running 7 saws and some other stuff. few and far between, but that definitely bumps up the calibers that are applicable. So you're looking 7mm 30 caliber is, again, to get that power factor, because not only do you have to have the minimum power factor, but the power factor is your tiebreaker for score. So if you shoot the same number of plates, well, if you have a 30-06 and they're squeaking by with a 25 Creedmoor, you're going to bump them in a place. It could be, I mean, I've seen, you know, three or four people tie, and then that power factor makes, you know, who so you could potentially bump several places.
That happened at the Nahaka match, the NRL 100 last one Chaz ran, the Nosler team. They got beat by power factor. So,
but that'll happen. So moving now to, I'm going to say PRS Gascon division, because that's something that, you know, not a lot of people compete in, but it's still a fun, still a very competitive division. And in my opinion, I think the answer is actually to go smaller, to go with the 22 caliber. But I'd love to hear, Miles, I'd love to hear your opinion, hear what you guys think about choosing a cartridge for the Gascon division.
Yeah. Well, first off, you got to pick, do you want to go large frame or small frame? And if you're going large frame, I tend to think 6.5 Creedmoor, maybe 6 GT are probably a good way to go. Obviously, I got beat by a 22 GT, but I'm in PRS in general, I'm afraid of going 22 caliber for like the splash reasons. That's really it. And then the thing, same thing on the small frame ARs, you have 6 arc is what I ran. A lot of guys are running that. I think three of the guys that were in the finale, three or four of us were running 6 arc. It gets you pretty close to 6.5 Creedmoor trajectory with way less rifle. It's easier to control, less recoil. In my opinion, I think the small frame system is generally going to be a little bit more reliable than a large frame system, as far as like you're going to have to get into a large frame system and probably tweak more than you will. I mean, with that kind of rifle for PRS, you're going to have to tweak a lot anyway, but I tend to think the small frame is more robust.
The way to go.
Yeah.
Okay. So you're looking
But 22 arc is an interesting thing, because that kind of came out while I was already invested in 6 arc, already had the rifle built for Gascon. It may win out. I mean, I say splash beyond 800, but the number of targets that are beyond 800 is relatively small of the total makeup of the targets that you have. So there is definitely less recoil. They get there faster. The BC between, you know, a heavy 22 and a heavy 6mm, they're pretty close. So yeah, I don't know. That comes down to try it out, maybe personal preference. Yeah. But
well, I'm definitely, if I were going to get into that game of the gas gun and the PRS stuff, I would lean pretty heavily towards 6 arc. I've got, you know, a gas gun in it that I use as like a night hunting rifle and things like that. But yeah, I mean, ammo availability as far as like being able to get stuff off the shelf, it runs good. I mean, you can run a 24 inch barrel and get the performance that you need to be competitive, plus shooting high BC bullets. But I'm, as you were talking, I was thinking, what about our VMatch ammo in a Grendel with a 100 grain VT?
There you go. Or the VMatch ammo in a 6 arc.
So when we were doing radar testing for the ELD VT, we basically had what was going to be the VMatch load. And we shot it on radar with my gas gun. That was one of the guns that we used to get the drag profile for it. And I was bullying some plates at 1,250 yards with it. And I was about that close to taking it to the finale.
Ooh.
And I got scared.
But consistency.
Yeah, I got scared. Well, because I'd already done all this low development and I knew what I had was going to work. And I wasn't, you know, I hate to a week before the match. That's like my least favorite thing to do. It's like,
yeah, change something major.
Change something major right before the match. So I didn't do it. But it would have been interesting to see how that would have played out, because that ammunition, I was getting very good extreme. That was factory loaded. I mean, you know, the same way. And so I was getting great extreme spreads. I was getting great ballistic performance, great accuracy. And so that may be a game changer.
Well, and you pick up a little bit of velocity going that way. And whether that's good or bad, dependent on the person.
But where you're at with a gas gun, you can use it.
Right.
Yeah. I thought 22 arc specifically, 22 GT, because there are limitations with the repeatable dispersion and precision of a gas gun. You've witnessed it, where if I'm loaded into a bipod, then it does this. And if I'm on a sandbag, then my, you know, point of impact does this. you're already limited when you start stretching the legs. So let's do everything we can inside of a half a mile to put me at the biggest advantage. And I think a 22 cal going faster inside of that 800 yard line sets you up to score more points where the hefty majority of the targets lay, in my opinion.
Yeah, yeah, I could get by with that. And I, like I said, it 22 arc kind of came along after I already had stuff rolling with 6 arc. But yeah, if I was going to do gas gun again, it would definitely be something that I might buy it, put together an upper, and try them both out.
It'll be interesting this year to see, since we just came out with the 22 arc, if people will start to go that way in PRS gas gun, mm-hmm. or if they'll stick with the big frame stuff that's traditionally kind of always been big frame. Well, now we came out with 6 arc and 22 arc and the small frame, and it seems like maybe people are starting to pull back a little
Absolutely.
Bit towards that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think all you have to do is shoot a 6 arc, even if it's not a PRS-built rig. Shoot a 6 arc on a range where you can stretch the legs out, even in an 18-inch platform. Shoot that a little bit, and then go shoot the large frame stuff on the same day, and it sways most people, like, okay, we need to be doing that.
Yeah. All right, let's transition here to our last topic, which is tactical division. In the PRS world, there is a tactical division where you have to shoot a 223/556 or a 308 Winchester, and it has to be in a bullet weight range that the military is currently fielding. So a lot of people running 308 Winchester. Now, I'm a contrarian. If I was going to run tactical, I'm running 223 hand loaded with our 75 grain ELD match bullets. Again, trying to stack the deck in my favor inside of 800 yards. And a 75 grain ELD match doing 2950 or 3000, that's hard to beat.
Yeah.
At a fraction of the recoil of a 308.
Yeah. That's a tough call. I think as many matches as we shoot out west, that's my real drawback. I think if we shot more matches to the east, that's a no brainer. 223 all day.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Those 176 A-tip and the 174 ELD VT now,
yeah,
those don't suck.
Those, yeah, you're right. From a drags perspective, they do pretty darn well. So bullet selection, obviously, you know, one of the big criteria in the propellant selection and all that, throw in what bullets are available. And when you're really restricted to what bullets you can use from a weight standpoint, you have to look at the drag, and you're right, those do stand out.
Yeah, and I think, I don't know. The AMU guys last year kind of let us know what a 308 can do.
Yeah.
So.
Well, with the right nut behind the bolt, you can do a lot with a 308. It's still very capable. And, you know, one of our sponsored shooters, Charles Roberts, when he's on his A game, running a 308 Winchester, same thing with Robert Brantley.
Oh, yeah.
Those guys will hang with the open. I write press releases. I look at match results. There have been many times where I've seen either Charlie Robb or Robert Brantley up there in, you know, top 15, top 10 with the open guys, and they're still shooting a 308. So, yeah, these guys and what goes on between the ears at the match, right?
The Hornady Security Fireproof Keypad Safe. With a heavy-duty 16-gauge steel body, extra-thick 8-gauge steel door, and 4 1-inch diameter locking lugs, the fireproof safe achieves a fire rating of 30 minutes for up to 1,400 degrees Fahrenheit. Both the interior and adjustable shelf are covered in a protective carpet that offers flexible storage configurations while safeguarding valuables from damage. The Fireproof Keypad Safe from Hornady Security.
Awesome. Well, guys, did you miss anything? You want to add anything to this about cartridge selection for your competitive stuff? I think we did a pretty good job of lining out some of the considerations you should have, and then really the period at the end of the sentence is make your selection and then run it and really flush it out. Run it for a season. Run it for multiple seasons. Run it for multiple barrels. You'll do yourself a favor by just getting comfortable with your equipment first before you start making changes.
I'd like to hear a little bit from Miles just on, we talk a lot about 6 and 6.5. It's pretty much all we've talked about today. A little bit 22s. Where does the 25 come into play? Have you seen benefits to a 25 in PRS versus an Earl Hunter? I don't know.
Well, the thing is, all of this lives in a circle of what's applicable. And on, you know, you got recoil and BC and wind and whatever all on different sides of it. And it's really just personal preference to where you want to live in that circle. However you want to look at it, it's the same thing as going 6 to 6.5. You either get less BC, less wind or more wind deflection, but less recoil. And then 6.5 is the opposite. And then 25 is kind of the...
splits it down the middle.
Yeah. I mean, it's...
I've seen a lot of people go to it.
Yeah. It definitely... like I said, if 6.5 is popular and 6 is popular, right? And, you know, like you got people being very successful with both of those, well, you're gonna see the same thing with 25.
Yeah. Seems like I've seen that a little bit more this year at PRS, is some people running 25.47s, 25 Creedmoors, you know,
yeah,
going towards that route.
It's definitely got a place. I think it's just been hindered because nobody... Not many people made high BC range bullets for it, because there's no Sammy cartridge to run a fast 7.5 twist or whatever. But
I think the fact that R134 has the sales volume it has, proof that there are people that want to do it.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. It's definitely in that range of should work without a problem. It's just a matter of where you want to land. And then I think, like I said, the biggest thing that's been holding it back is bullet selection for the longest time.
Excellent. Anything else, guys? Awesome. Well, I appreciate your guys' insight. I'm looking forward to see how you guys do on the competitive circuit this year. I think, like I mentioned, my foot is way off the throttle as far as competing goes. I think I'll probably get in NRL Hunter match or two, maybe a PRS match, maybe. But our summer is, man, as far as the marketeering world goes, be a lot of running around and try to take as much time home as I can. But I still love to get out to do these matches. I still love being at the matches, and I know you guys do as well. If you guys, as listeners, are at the matches, that's one of the things that Hornady has always prided itself on before anybody else was really involved. 2013, 2014 timeframe, you went to a big match, there wasn't other brands having competitors in there, but you know, Hornady had competitors there, and now it's become way more mainstream, and all of the other major manufacturers will send out people to play. But we love the interaction. You know, if you're squatted up with us, or, you know, if you see us at the match, we love to hear, one, product suggestions. Because that's, you know, there's been a lot of products that have been the result of coming home. And hey, you know, people are asking about this. We should look into that kind of deal. So definitely love the interaction. And I'm excited to see how you guys do, Joe Thielen, the whole rest of the Hornady team that competes.
Yeah,
excited to see you guys do this.
Yeah, it's valuable for me, honestly, because I go out, I design a bullet, and we test it, you know, internally, whatever, and everything looks kosher, and then we go out and get to see it in the field, see what the actual field results are. That's a valuable resource for us.
Absolutely. Yep. Awesome, guys. Well, thanks again. Guys, hopefully you enjoyed this podcast about your competitive cartridge selection. We hope some of this criteria helps you chop through it and pick out the right cartridge for you. We hope you enjoyed it. And we'll catch you on the next one.